Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I find putting the Christmas decorations away is never as much fun as putting them out. The mood of excitement and anticipation is replaced with a sense of almost drudgery. But more importantly, what happens when the decorations are put away? Does the spirit of Christmas get packed into the boxes along with the decorations? Or does it stay to transform and guide you through the year?
And the Christmas tree.
And the Christmas tree, yes. Must put that away too. At the Feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate the arrival of the Magi bringing exotic gifts, following a star to Bethlehem. However, their return journey is no less important. After our annual encounter with the infant Messiah at Christmas, we have a choice. We can return to life normal and unchanged, letting Christmas just be another festival, another holiday, or like the Magi, we can return by another road. We can move forward as different people, setting out on a new path of discipleship, guided by the one who came to change the world. Yes, that's what the birth of Jesus was about. He came to change the world and he invites us to be his disciples so that we too can make change. Once baptised, Jesus began his ministry filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to seek out others, to call them to follow him and promote his teaching. Those who followed and stayed with Jesus became his disciples, singled out to be the ones to spread the good news, to take his message into the world. In the Old Testament reading, we read also of Jonah and his call. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Did he miss the first call? Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message I tell you. Jonah heard the voice of the Lord calling him. In the Gospel reading, Jesus was in Galilee by the sea when he saw Simon and his brother Andrew fishing. He spoke to them and said, "Follow me." Then a little further along the shore, he sees James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and he also calls them to follow. I suspect it was the day the same as many others. The sun had risen, perhaps in a ray of pastel blue and pink hues reflecting across the sea. The nets needed sorting and perhaps mending, and the catch delivered to the market. A day like any other day for fishermen, yet for these fishermen, it was about to change forever. I recall the very first time I heard Jesus call me, and years later, I followed that call. Indeed, it changed my life forever, making it richer, purposeful, and full of blessings. Though the road isn't always easy, it's certainly manageable when it's walked with Jesus. Now, Jesus was gathering his followers, his disciples. He was busy calling ordinary people to do the work of God, calling them to know and to follow him. There was no doubt other fishermen were out fishing that morning, but it was these ones he called. He called them personally. Here they were, suddenly expected to trade the certain for the uncertain, the visible for the invisible, the known for the unknown, their ability for their inability, the possible for the impossible. They were eventually to see that Jesus was worth more to them than anything they were walking away from. These fishermen were successful in their profession, but it held nothing that was eternal. To follow Jesus gave them a life that held significance. It held eternity. In the same way as Jesus walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee calling the fishermen, so he could pass by us and call us to follow him. It could be any day as we go about our business. It could be right here, now, this morning. And this morning he will pass by our hearts as we gather at the altar rail for communion. And I recall the very first time that Jesus called me to follow him. I was all of 9 years of age, and I never forgot that calling. Many years later, I held faithful to that call, and as I had mentioned many times before, as you're aware, I completed my nursing training. I served Christ along with the Bush Church Aid Society in the remote area of Cooper Pedy in the 1960s, later among the Pitjantjatjara people of the central western desert. I served in these areas for 10 years. I left everything behind except what fitted into a suitcase, plus, of course, my dog. Later in life, I experienced a very distinct call, and desperate resistance from me didn't work, and I ended up following God into ordained ministry. It's a strange thing, this call from God. It's felt in the heart and carries a strange power that draws us to go after Jesus, to want to spend your life following and serving and helping others to also come and follow Jesus. Not everyone is called into discipleship to leave all that they have and know and go into the unknown. That was just my experience at that time. Once Jesus had me as a follower, I went on to other ministries at home, like here in this place. What has it done for me to have heard God's call and respond with a lifetime of service in his name? What has it done for my spirit, and what has it done for God's kingdom? Call as a disciple of Christ to me is about following Jesus all the days of my life. It's about a way of life. It's about responding to his call to follow him, and then so often the second call to come is to serve him. It's about saying yes to his voice that says, "Come, follow me." It's a yes that is life-changing, a call that by his grace, lives of others are changed as I serve in the world and action in the Church of God with a deep passion for the other, that is, those who are often forgotten or passed by or seeking the same God with a desire to know him more and more. God calls us to use our gifts, the gifts he's given us, to not only bring the good news of his saving love to all, but not just in words, but also in actions. In fact, it's often a case of actions speaking louder than words. He takes us like we are, saves us by his grace, and puts us into service. That is what the Lord does. I marvel at the mystery of God's call. The very fact that a person can be saved and is then allowed to serve is such a privilege and a blessing beyond comparison. To think that he would save sinners and then use them to carry out his work is a truth that is precious and beyond belief. In the story of Jonah, we see the whole story of his calling, including the ending. He completes his mission, albeit by the narrowest of margins. This luxury of seeing the whole story is not so in the gospel story of the fisherman's calling. How must that have been? I'm sure it wasn't quite as easy as it's portrayed in the glossy pictures of our childhood Bibles, with them simply downing tools and nets and walking away following Jesus along the shoreline. I'm sure, in fact, I know it isn't quite that easy. These men were breadwinners. They had families and responsibilities, people who depended on them right through to the marketplace and their daily supply of fish for the customers. To anyone looking on, this would seem very irresponsible and dangerous. There's no good story ending here that people around them could see. The reading from Jonah shows courageous change taking place completely. And the one from Mark's gospel shows only the start of it. Can you, I wonder, rise to the challenge to call to follow Jesus when you don't know the end of the journey? That's where faith and trust come in. And it's not until we come to the end of life and enter into his presence in heaven that we can hope to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Today, we still keep on discovering what is implied in the call to follow Jesus. Each one of us needs to work out what such a calling represents to us in a culture, an age, and a society far removed from the rural peasant life of first century Palestine. Some people question whether faith could mean much if it didn't bring change in life. Paul would have had the same question, for he firmly believes that to have faith in Christ means that one sought to obey Jesus Christ in every aspect of life. In John's preaching, we are being prepared for the coming of the Lord through repentance and the promise of a new beginning. John the Baptist saw clearly his part in preparing for the coming of Christ. I wonder, can you see clearly what your part is? I wonder how many times you've missed a phone call. The phone will ring and ring, and by the time you reach it, it stops ringing. You're too far away or too slow to respond or distracted. Perhaps you thought it might be a marketing call or a nuisance call. Sometimes the caller might leave a message and we forget to call back. Can we relate this to God's call in our life? The late Martin Luther King, preacher, pastor, and activist, is remembered for his deep concern for the oppressed, and he fought for social justice for them. He stood up for the Afro-Americans who were hosed down in the streets because they were seen as not human. He was an activist against the Vietnam War, calling for peace and the end to war. He advocated for the Negro people to have sewerage in their homes, as the white people did. In the eyes of many in the world, he was a great activist, a seeker of social justice. But what the world didn't see or didn't take into account was that what motivated him was his faith, his prayer life, his moments of quiet with God. His call was deep in his heart to serve his God in such a way that change happened and people's lives were changed. Some of you might think it's all too hard. Can't see yourself doing any of that, following Christ in the outback or overseas or on the local corner of the shops proclaiming Christ. Too hard to contemplate, you might say. Well, I say thank goodness, because if we all took to doing that, then there would be no one left here in this place to serve Christ and lead others to his way of life by word and example. To put down your nets and follow Jesus could be as simple as putting down what you do on a Monday and coming along to help and volunteer at the Covenant Care Respite Place among those whose life is now very limited. Or to put down your nets on a Friday and bring Christ in action in the playgroup. Or put down your nets on a day of the week and volunteer as a disciple of Christ at St John's Care. Think about where you can be a disciple of Christ, because this business of following Jesus goes far beyond the four walls of this church on a Sunday. We can, each and every one of us, make a difference in this world, in this place, by following Jesus into the world as much with action as with words. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. I say it again, your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. If we are in tune with God, then we should be able to relate to what Whittier wrote in the second stanza of his poem that later became a well-known hymn. In simple trust, like those who heard, beside the Syrian sea, the gracious calling of the Lord, let us, like them without a word, rise up and follow thee. Amen.